Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown Show on the best AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. The best sports karate interviews, special announcements, and special surprises each week on this Tuesday night. Professor Gary Lee has a knockout punch every week for your enjoyment. Supporting the Sports Karate Museum Archives and the history in America. It ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit to keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yo, Professor Gary Lee, great job.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Well, aloha, everybody, and welcome to the AMAA Masters and Pioneer Radio Show, Parts Unknown. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and I'm your host. And tonight, I'm really excited because we're going into Black History Month, and I get to talk about some of my favorite fighters that we've lost, that through the years, before we lost them, they supported the Sport Karate Museum. The first person I'd like to bring up, somebody we lost recently, was passed a couple of days ago. His name was Eugene Pack, Reverend Eugene Pack. He was one of the best judges that Texas had, and we're going to miss you very deeply. We get to honor him this weekend with a goodbye ceremony. The next man I'd like to talk about is a great fighter. His name was Satch Williams. Now, Satch Williams was an incredible fighter from California. He was part of the NBA, and we appreciate him so much. We miss him.
Hey, Gary.
And another fighter that I'd like to talk about.
Hey, Gary.
Steve Anderson.
Gary
okay,
Lee.
Someone's got something
There's
the
a lot of background noise.
Okay, sir. I understand. Someone needs to kill their radio and mute it, please, if you're not talking. Someone in the background, please mute that if you're not talking. The next man I'd like to talk about, again, is Steve Nasty Anderson. He was one of the greatest heavyweight fighters we had in the country. And then last but not least, and every week leading up through February, we're going to have Pro Football. This next man was one of my best friends that I mentioned deeply. But Kevin, little K.A. Thompson. Okay, so God bless you.
Hey, guys. Hang on, Professor. Hey. Hey, everybody listen up. This is Wolverine. Somebody needs to mute their phone. Nobody can hear anything the professor's saying because somebody don't have their phone on mute. So please. If you're waiting to come on and talk, just place your phone on mute so that we can hear everybody. Thank you very much. We love each and every one of you, and we want to hear what everybody's got to say. All right, go ahead, Professor.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you so much. But the last person I was mentioning was Kevin Little K. Thompson, and we miss him very deeply, too. But every week up until the end of February, we're going to honor the black community and the black karate community and these guys that we've lost. So look forward to listening about some of the profiles of the people that we've lost, but they were part of the black karate community that really made an impact on America. Now, thank you so much, Wolverine, for asking those people to turn that background noise down. But the reason why we're on the air.
You didn't thank me, Gary.
I'm going to introduce you, AJ. Shut up. But the reason why we're on the air every week, guys, is because of a great man who has vision. And he, well, I'll let him talk about himself a little bit because I like the way he talks anyway. But he's got some announcements to make. We're going to be honoring Bill Wallace, and we got Cynthia Rock. We got magazine. Anyway, I'll let him talk. I'm talking about my producer, Hanchi Jesse Bowen. Hanchi, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for the Wolverine for telling people to kill that background noise.
Well, appreciate that, Dane. Appreciate that.
Well, tell people what's going on with
Hot Suggestion Morning. You got a lot of stuff going on, but go ahead and tell my listeners what's happening with you.
Well, you know, of course, you know, we're constantly promoting the martial arts, promoting the martial artists, really working on making a difference. And of course, you know we launched our magazine, which is the Martial Arts Extraordinaire magazine. This is so now we have one. We are no longer going to publish the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers. So this month we're going to be honoring Linda Denley and for her accomplishments and, you know, the folks in Texas. So, you know, we have that, you know, the magazine going on. We have honoring Bill Wallace in Las Vegas. That's going to be coming up here during the summer right before the Super Show. So we just, you know, we have, you know, we're launching a new podcast. Karen Herdman and I, we're going to be doing a podcast, and the podcast is called Become an Author. So we're putting a lot of focus on helping martial artists tell their story. Now, everybody has a story. You just have to get it out. And those stories can impact the lives. For most of us, we got involved in martial arts because someone that we you know, idolized, such as Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, or whomever, you know, we saw those people, and those folks stood out, and they made a difference in our lives, even though we didn't know them. And this is the way that the martial arts can be, and the people that have, you know, really carved the way for tomorrow's martial artists. So, you know, we're really promoting. We have on slot 200 martial artists. We're planning on promoting their books this year. So, you know, we've just been doing, you know, just a lot of that, and we're going to announce some of those people, you know, coming up. So technology, our training websites for public speaking, and we're also joined, it's called the Global Chamber Commerce, and that's a nationwide sort of chamber for business. And just giving the information that we can be better coming out of this pandemic than we were going into it. So, you know, those are just a few of the things. You can go to our website, and that is whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and a lot of that information is already up on our website. Again, you can order a copy of the Linda Denley magazine that's going to be coming out on Monday. So you can go ahead, and that's going to be a paper magazine. The magazine is also available in a digital magazine also.
Well, that's exciting. I got to tell you a funny story that's really not really a funny story, but it's really a good story. Back in the day, I had the first fight club in Houston, and Miss Linda Denley would drive 40 miles one way to show up on every Thursday and Friday night. And it was a lot of people there. I mean, there was Jimmy Chaberis, Andy Ray Rasmus, Pete Powell, Ishmael Robles, Al Gardner, a lot of people would show up, Lottie Sorrell, but Linda Denley would be the only woman to show up. Now, what we would do, Aussie Bowen, we would get a hat, and people would drop their names in the hat and $1. And then at the beginning of the fight club, we'd draw names, and Miss Denley would fight everybody. It was amazing times. We had such a good time, and I'm so glad that she is being honored, and we can say thank you to her, because she's such a special, special lady. And thank you, Auntie Justin Boyne, for all you do and what you've done for the museum, what you've done with the book, what you've done with the ring, and everything that you're doing. We want to thank you from all the history generals and the Sport Carter Museum. Thank you, Auntie Justin Boyne. Appreciate you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, moving right along, I've got two guys that put up with me every week, and one of them, I got to adopt him from the great fighter Joe Louis. His name is Dean Piles. Are you there, Dean?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Hey, buddy. I appreciate you making that person, whoever it was, to tear off the background noise. Thank you
much.
No problem. How you been, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. We're just training, getting ready for, you know, chaos or movies or whatever comes our way.
Hey, Dean. I hear you, buddy.
Hey,
well,
bud.
I got another co-host that keeps interrupting me, but I love him to death. He's my Tang Soo Do buddy, a master. He's up there in the snow up there in Cleveland, and he's my Yankee friend. I love him to death. His name is Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., are you there, buddy?
How are you, Professor?
Well, you get to talk, so talk. That's a joke, buddy. I heard it snowed up there. You're in the snow.
Oh, we got 18, 20 inches of snow here. And
wow.
It was funny using the snowblower. Got the drive and everything, you know, cleared off really nice. And then turn around, wow. Look out the window, and it's like, you know, I had to do it again.
Well, I've got a great show tonight, guys. I'm getting to interview someone that's very special to me because I bring him in every year for him to put up his booth, and we've got to honor a lot of cool people around America. But here's the secret. Back in 2002 or 3, I can't remember, I was inducted into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and this is the group that this man runs now. And I'm very proud of that because, you know, anything with the United States in front of it, to me, is powerful. And this man is an amazing man. He works his rear end off. But we get to talk a little bit about him tonight. I'm talking about Mr. John Terry. John, are you there?
I am here, sir. Thank you for the invitation and honored to be on the radio show tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, John. Now, I want to say thank you, first of all, for allowing the museum to nominate people like we did last year and what we're doing this year. And I'm very proud to be a part of your organization. Now, tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you start at, and what rank are you now?
You know, I started at the age of 13. My parents relocated from Fort Smith, Arkansas, to Russellville, Arkansas, and I became the target of every bully in school. My dad told me he was going to take care of things for me, and I thought he was going to go talk to the principal. He enrolled me in Goju. And so that was my very first start in the martial arts, and I trained there for several years before I moved on and graduated high school, went off to college. Shortly after college, got married, had children. My kids decided they wanted to start training in the martial arts. Found a Shore and Rue school in town where we lived. They started training. One of the instructors that was there was an old friend of mine from high school. She invited me to start training, and I stepped in and started working in the art of Shore and Rue, and I currently hold a fifth-degree black belt in Shore and Rue, and that's one of the systems of several that I've trained in over the years.
That's an amazing background. Now, how did you get involved with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame? I know you inherited from, what was his name?
Professor Kale?
Tell me that. Yeah, Mr. Kale, Marty Kale. But tell me how you got involved, sir.
I was inducted into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame in 2008 for about 10 years of advocacy work, traveling across the United States into the Caribbean and into Central America, teaching rape and assault prevention, predator awareness, and predator safety. And while I was at the event, I met Professor Kale, and we just had an immediate connection, almost as if we were brothers from different mothers. And Professor Kale was looking for some help because an individual that had been serving alongside of him was starting a tactical training group and was leaving the Hall of Fame. And because of the close proximity, I just stepped into that role of serving Marty and helping him in the organization. And over 7 or 8 years, I served as the vice president under Professor Kale. In 2016, Professor Kale turned and he said, I've taken the organization as far as I can. It needs some new blood. It needs an opportunity for someone to take it farther than I can, and that individual is you. And at that point, he asked me if I would take the reins of the organization and lead it forward to where we currently are today.
Well, I love being a part of your group because a lot of my friends are part of it, and of course you allow the museum to nominate people every year now, and that's very, very important to what we do every year. You know, our event is October 7th and 8th this year, where you'll have a booth. Now, also, you got some books, because I want you to display some of your books this year. Tell me about some of your books that you do.
Yes, sir. I've written 6 books. Probably the ones that are going to be of most interest to your audience are some books I've written on the martial arts, and I'll share a little bit of the others as well. The very first book I wrote martial arts related, I owned for a period of time three schools, and we had about 200 students in three different locations, and we were an openly faith-based school that we were Christians, and we openly shared our faith in our school, which was unique in a retail location. And I had a number of school owners ask me how to open and run a faith-based school. And so I wrote a book called Christian Martial Arts, The Passion, the Calling, the Journey, back in 2010, 2011, and that book continues to sell very well on Amazon. In 2008, when I took over the Hall of Fame, and I looked at the state of the martial arts and went back to the traditions of Shore and Rue, an Okinawan style. In traditional Okinawan martial arts, the first year or so that you were training with an old school instructor, they taught you character, they taught you leadership, and they taught you values. And only after you gained their trust and they saw that you were an individual worthy of not abusing the arts would they actually teach you the self-defense and fighting aspects of the arts. And as I looked at the state of the martial arts community, I said, we're turning out some great black belts that can punch, that can kick, that can compete at a high level, that understand reality self-defense and can do that well. But if we're not teaching our students to make good choices, to learn to lead themselves well and be the leaders in our community, are we really making black belt leaders in life? That led to my book, Black Belt Leadership 101, debuted as a number one new release on Amazon and stayed on the Amazon bestsellers list for 3 months. My latest book that I just released is one that as I've looked at and talked to school owners and heard some of the issues going on in their schools, a major theme kept coming up, and that was people dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety, dealing with self-doubt, and dealing with negative self-talk. So I released a book December 27th of last year, just right before the end of the year, called Master Your Self-Confidence. And that book is designed, as is Black Belt Leadership, as is the Christian Martial Arts book that I wrote, all designed to help school owners have a roadmap to be able to take those principles and teach those to their students to make a difference, and not just a difference, but a positive difference in the lives of their students.
Well, that's really exciting, John. I mean, you know, not only that you're helping the martial arts community in building confidence in what they do and supporting their history, you're teaching the next generation how to be improved in their mental attitude and their mindset. And I appreciate that so much. I'm looking forward to your book display and your display of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame coming up in October. And now, you also have a camp. Tell me a little bit about that, and when's that going to be this year?
Absolutely. Every year, third week of July, we host a national training camp. The United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame is sponsored by our association, the International Martial Arts Council of America. And every year, we go to a specific city somewhere in the United States. This year, we're going to be in San Antonio, Texas, home of the River Rock, home of the Alamo. And we're going to be there July 14, 15, 16.
Happy.
Okay, someone need to turn off their background noise, please.
Oh.
And that gives you the opportunity to be able to white belt for 3 days, regardless of your rank. We're going to have an opportunity to honor some old pioneers that have been serving and teaching in the martial arts community. Some of the folks we're going to be honoring in the Hall of Fame this year have been teaching for 40 and 50 years. And very excited because we've lost a great number of masters, grandmasters over the last couple of years with this pandemic and people just getting old. And we want to take some time to honor those pioneers that really set the foundation for what we as next generation and then the next generation are continuing to perpetuate into the future.
Well, I'm very proud because we're on the same journey. And, you know, that's what I do every year also. And, you know,
absolutely.
You know, it's true, man. We got hit hard this past year. We got lost John the Timidad, Jim Harrison, J. Pat Burleson, Harry Bach, Reverend Eugene Pat. I mean, we got hit hard this year. And, you know, we got to always give back, John, as you know, and we've talked about many times on the phone. And I feel that's what you're doing. So listen to me, buddy. Don't go nowhere. because I'm going to be right back with you after we're going to play the Legends Zane game. I've got to do a couple
Very
things.
Good, sir.
And, but don't go anywhere because I'm excited to talk to you about hitting me with some names that you might talk about a little bit. Okay, buddy?
Excellent. I'll sit tight. Thank you.
I'm talking to Mr. John Terry, the CEO of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And I'm excited because he is one of these guys that honors the pioneers and the people that helped create sport karate in America. Now, one of the segments that we created here on Parts Unknown is a fun, fun segment. It features six different martial artists around the country to talk about certain topics or questions that are brought up through our emails and stuff. So one of the people of the six I'm very proud of, and I always do it out of respect to always introduce her first, is a lady that was a champion of the PKL. She trained in Shoryu Karate, and now she does advocate of Kung Fu. I'm talking about Miss Karen Slasher. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Karen?
I'm okay. A little under the weather this week, but I've got my antibiotics. I'm good. I'll be fine.
I got a good question for you this week, honey. Okay, here we go.
All
what
right.
What value does your martial arts movements play in your life, and what way do you honor it? Oh.
Wow. Value, it's priceless. It's who I am. It's not just what I do. I do what I do because of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
I've always been a martial artist, always. And it doesn't, I don't have to say it comes first. It is. It's what I do. What other people knit, I do martial arts. It's what I do. It's who I am. So daily, I mean, my life is around training, but it's also around teaching it, making sure the history, I keep teaching the history of things and why they happen, and because I always loved it. And I remember a teacher telling me one time that he wanted to give the lineage of the system to someone who had Kaizen. I'm pretty sure he said it was Kaizen, which is, you give it to someone who will appreciate it. They may not deserve it rank-wise as much as someone else, but you can tell you give it to the person that will take it, love it, and appreciate it. And that's what it is. That's what I am. I'm the person that would appreciate it. And it's pretty much ordered my steps my whole life. That and God are the two things that I've always done it because it is priceless. I didn't ask for it. It just was.
Well, wise words from my young lady. So you say out of the cold weather, is it snowing in North Carolina yet?
Last week we had about 2 inches. We were snowed in for 3 days. It's terrible.
Wow.
That was a great answer, Karen.
Thank you.
It was a great answer. That's why I got on the show, AJ. Well, since AJ wants to talk, I'll ask AJ the next question. AJ is part of the six. And he's a Tang Suzo master, and he's a major instructor. But you know what I'm excited about AJ Perry is that he gets to come to the Legends every year, and he performs. I get him to walk on glass and stick nails in his arms and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I you know what also about AJ Perry I really like? Of all the people in America, I asked him to be the spokesman for the military group of our museum. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, my good friend, Mr. AJ Perry. AJ, you there, buddy?
I'm here. Thanks. That was a nice introduction. Thank you.
Well, the check.
And I'm honored to be a spokesman for the military.
Okay, here we go, buddy. What value does your martial art lineage play in your life, and what way do you honor it, AJ?
Well, you know, I really like Karen's answer, but, you know, I would have to agree. You know, it's who I am. It's what we do, and it's who we are. And the way I honor it is by passing it along to students and future students the best way I can, and to be a good example in how it's brought across to the others and
yes, sir.
The lineage.
Well, you're a good person, AJ. I sure enjoy talking to you off the line, and our time we spend together. It really means a lot, and I appreciate your answer. Now, my other co-host is an incredible man. He's a NASCAR world champion. He turned into a producer, actor, and he's a choreographer now for his new movie, The Coward. But I'd like to bring on Mr. Dean Pyle. Dean, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, what value does your martial arts lineage play in your life, and what way do you honor it?
Well, you know, the value that I put on my martial arts system is, you know, I train the special forces to keep America safe. So to me, that's very valuable, and it's very important, and I take that job very serious. And I also take that same stance when I'm training my students. I teach them the traditional stuff and the way things were done traditionally, and then I teach them practical application that you would be using in the world today. It's just like Joe Louis would say, not dissing anybody, but, you know, Grandmaster Louis, he was not one to mince words. He would just say stuff. I mean, I was with him we were in a kung fu school, and he was like, this stuff right here, it's 2,000 years old. It don't work. It's finger paint. It don't work. It's not based in science. I take that concept of teaching people stuff that's going to work real, and that's my value, is I feel like if I'm going to train students, because at the end of the day, most people come in for one or two things. To be able to defend themselves is usually the number one thing, and then the second thing is to get in better shape. And then they discover martial arts, and then they discover that journey, and they want to make it a part of their life for that character doe and make it, you know, that part of their life. So the value to me is to pass on techniques to people that they can actually use that are real-world applicable and going to save a life. And that, to me, you know, passing something on to somebody that's going to save their life. And, you know, I get lots of emails from my soldiers that, you know, have been in combat. And you know, it's just, it's really good to get those emails thanking you for the techniques that they were able to learn that they used in combat to defend themselves. And I like to do that same thing for my students. And that's the value I get out of it, is passing on something that can potentially save someone's life or the life of a loved one or someone else. That's how I honor it, and I honor it also by going to competition and announcing to the judges who my instructors were and where I got my knowledge of martial arts. So, I make sure that I announce who my instructors were.
Well, great, great answer from a wise man. And thank you for your service and helping our military people get stronger in the mind mentally. You're a special, special man, Dean Pyle. Thank you so much. Now, moving right along,
sir.
One of my favorite people, you know, David, are you there? David Chambers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to introduce you. David Chambers is an amazing, amazing man. You know, he is president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, which runs the sport karate in Texas. But the real reason why I'm loving to death, he's won the Golden Greek over 5 times. It took me 17 years to win one Golden Greek. He's won 5. And I think he's a hoot. Hey, D.E., how you doing, buddy?
And I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I feel blessed. We had a good class today. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
Well, before I get you to answer that question, do you have Jamie with you right now?
She's not with me, but she is on the line.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Sir. I'm here.
Well, Hey, Jamie. You know, last
good
week,
evening.
He got me in trouble because he didn't mention you, but you've got a big tournament coming up this weekend, which I didn't realize that Garrett had won grand champion last year. But tell people about your tournament and what's happening this weekend.
Yes, sir. My tournament, high-level competition, is this weekend in Houston, Texas at Fallbrook Church. We do have grand champion for black belts and under belts. Professor Gary Lee's son did win last year, so hoping somebody else come and beat him this year and win the money. I'm expecting everybody to come out and have a good time.
Well, Jamie, I hope you forgive me for last week because I counted on DE to remind
you. Keep throwing
me
under the bus. Mr. Powell,
you know,
for step
Jamie,
in and say,
so
stop the background noise.
Plug. DE, what value does your martial art play in your life, and what way do you honor it?
Well, I think you just spoke to it. I'm kind of blessed that we do work with the AOK. That's a couple dozen producers, many schools that are involved with it, and then the personal impact that makes a difference is the value of changing lives. That's nothing greater than that to me. Meaning, see, the self defense is important because we get to save lives, but sometimes changing lives is even a greater one because sometimes the small things make a difference. To see somebody who just didn't have a certain level of character, or to see someone who didn't have a certain level of confidence, to see their mature. And the young lady you just spoke of, she's hosting her first AOK event. Now, it's been her fourth annual, but they also, this is the first year adding kickboxing to it. Hopefully, I'm going to need a few of y'all to add, so we're going to do continuous sparring, and I need about four more fighters. They're young. I need some young fighters. So I need some help out there. But it's about watching them develop, watching producers develop, and
yes,
be a massive way of changing lives. And that's what makes the huge difference. Gary Lee, I remember when I was an orange belt, when you changed my life. See, those things you can't replace. You can't pay for it. And watching Sensei Samson get ready for her tournament, that changes lives.
Well, you know, your family, your lovely sons are a big part of my journey, and you actually let me honor them in the museum to become black belts underneath the museum and your organization. But I want to say something, T.D. You changed lives. I've watched you teach for years, and I've seen the results and the people that you've influenced. And now, again, I have to remind you every time we talk, you're the president of the AOK, organization that runs sport karate tournaments in Texas. And I'm so proud of you, AJ. I just called you AJ. I'm sorry.
That's a pleasure. I'm going to accept that. I'm going to accept that, sir.
Well, you guys are very special, and especially you, D, and I thank you so much. Now, I got to move right along here. Now, did Uncle Jerry get on the line? Uncle Jerry Smith?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, let me introduce you real quick. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this man is just incredible. He is the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation. He worked in the beginning days of Black Belt Magazine. He is a protege and grew up underneath the great, great Joe Louis. Now, a couple of years ago, one of my dear friends, Rose, Mr. John Natividad, rest in peace. This young man, and he is a young man at 73, I think he is, he gave me Joe Louis's black belt for the museum. And I'm talking about the incredible, I call him Uncle because, you know, in Hawaii, if you call somebody Uncle, they're family. Uncle Jerry Smith. Are you there, Jerry?
Yes, I am, Gary.
Good, buddy. How you doing? Well, before you answer the question, I want you to talk about one of the gentlemen I brought about celebrating Black History Month, and that was our friend, Mr. Howard Jackson. You got a very special story. Kind of keep it short, but I want you to tell that story, okay? Anyway, this is the great Jerry Smith talking about the great fighter, Howard Jackson, in celebration of Black History Month. Go ahead, Jerry. Uncle Jerry, go ahead.
Okay. I definitely would love to honor Howard Jackson, my friend. Howard was an instructor for Chuck Norris when Chuck Norris opened up his beautiful, beautiful school on the Miracle Mile, Wilshire Boulevard, down the street from Black Belt Magazine, actually. Black Belt Magazine was in a high-rise on Wilshire Boulevard. And Joe Lewis, myself, Cliff Stewart, because Howard was a teacher for Chuck Norris, would, after hours on the weekend, would go in, because Howard had the keys to the school, and we would work out and have a great time. And Howard was just an amazing, amazing athlete. He was also rated as a boxer. I don't know if people knew that as well. He also, but anyway, Howard and I ended up divorced at the same time. We were both divorced, and so Howard was a bouncer at a club called the Red Onion in Los Angeles, a real popular club. So he calls me up and he goes, Jerry, look, I know that you're, you know, separated and divorced, and so am I. Why don't we go out and have a good time? And I said, you want me to come down to the club where you work? You know, he goes, no, don't come. I don't want anything to do with that place, but I'm not. I want to go out and have a good time. I don't want to, you know, if I go there, he'll put me to work. So we went to TGIF, thank God it's Friday, at the marina. So we go in the marina, and we go in and we spot a couple of really good looking girls or women, and we went over and asked them to dance, and they danced with us, and they came back to our table. The worst thing you can ever do if you're a woman is to go out with two martial arts guys that haven't seen each other in a while, because all they're going to do is want to talk about martial arts. And that's what was happening. And I think the girls got a little angry at us because, you know, we were just talking about, we weren't paying very much attention. So they decided to go out on the dance floor and dance with each other. And while they were dancing with each other, there was this guy on the floor, kind of an Italian guy, and he had a glass of wine, or I don't know what he was drinking, but he had a drink in one hand, and he had a lit cigarette in the other, and he was bumping into people, bumping and pushing, and everybody was trying to stay out of his way, and he ended up kind of burning one of the girls that was with us. They were dancing with each other on the back, so when they came back to the table, they were complaining. They go, who's that horrible man out there on the dance floor? He's bumping into people. And Howard goes, I guess Howard was just being a bouncer, he was used to. Howard says, I'll take care of it. So Howard went out on the dance floor, you know, asked the guy, said something to the guy. I couldn't tell what he said. And the guy kind of pointed his finger, and Howard grabbed the guy in the collar and kind of pushed him, threw him across the floor. And the guy actually fell and slid completely off of the dance floor. And Howard said, look, you realize that you burnt this young lady on the back? He said, if you're going to go on the dance floor, dance, but don't have a drink and a lit cigarette in your hand. And by this time, the girls were really happy with us because we kind of stood up for them. And we went back to the table. And when we got back to the table, a waitress comes over to the table. And she says, excuse me? And we go, yeah. She says, it was an Italian name. I don't remember what it was. We want you to know that your tab for the night is completely taken care of. Anything that you want is taken care of. And we're trying to figure out, what? Who did this? And she said, the guy that your friend just threw across he was the owner of the club. And he was a young, handsome Italian guy. She says, she looks down at me, at us, and she goes, you guys are cops, right? And before Howard could answer, I said, yes, we are. And I said, Howard, that guy's Italian. He's probably from New York. You know, we want to get out of this place alive, man. We were laughing, and the girls, we had we had a great time. But that's my little Howard Jackson story. We really had a good time.
A big shout out to our dear friend Howard Jackson, and I loved him. I mean, I miss him. He really was a good friend. I met him in the early 70s when I fought Rob Hogan, and he was hanging out with Boxer Man, Everett Eddy, and Johnny Lee, and Harry Wolfman Reed, and all the Ohio guys. They're from Detroit, but he was a great guy. Now, going back to the question, Uncle Jerry, okay, okay, here we go. What value does your martial art lineage play in your life, and what way do you do to honor it?
Well, when I was a young man, before I actually even got a chance to go to the Orient and study, I read a book, and it was called The Seven Virtues of Bushido. And I didn't join the Marine Corps because I wanted to be a Marine. I joined the Marine Corps because I wanted to study martial arts in the Orient. And I wanted to truly understand what the virtues of Bushido mean. That's what the samurai studied. So I read everything I could, and I went. And it's basically, like your other two guests say, it's a way of life.
Yes, sir.
Honor and looking out for others, gratitude, taking care of people. It's and remember, the ultimate goal of martial arts is not victory or defeat, but the perfection of one's character. And
yes,
I've always tried to pass that on to the fighters that I have trained. And every now and then, one of them will let me down. But the bigger percentage of people, I mean, that is why I studied martial arts. It was very, very important to me.
Well, you're a very, very important person to the Sport Karate Museum and to our incredible group of listeners that we have in all the countries and around the world. Now, one of your proteges, he's been training with you since he was 16. He is a 10th-degree black belt now, and he is the new web designer attitude behind the Sport Karate Museum, and we'll talk about that, but he's an incredible master teacher, and I want to bring him on. Tom, are you there, buddy?
I sure am, Gary.
Well, the question is really pretty simple, buddy. What value does your martial art lineage play in your life, Tom, and what way do you do to honor it?
Well, a dear wise Hawaiian brother of mine speaks of his Hawaiian view of ohana, or family, and says that we all inhabit a sacred place in our family line. We're both a unique descendant of our ancestors as well as an ancestor to our descendants, and a link in an eternal chain with our own purpose to be ourselves while serving to be a conduit of our ancestral identity to those who may benefit from knowing it. When my sensei, Thomas White, was boarding his plane in the early 60s in Okinawa to return to the States, Grandmaster Shimabukuro was seeing him off, and he gave him a small folded piece of paper with the kanji yukinju, which means receiving water. And he told my teacher, take this seed back to your homeland and plant it deeply. And I and my many students over the last 57 years that I've been teaching are the fruits of that were born from that sowing. The solemn commission coupled with the directive of Sensei White's go forth and strive to become more human, in other words, to actualize ourselves to be the best versions of ourselves, continues to direct my steps today as well as my students. By honoring the magnificent gifts my sensei entrusted me with, I teach the arts as I receive them, quote my teacher's teachers, as they have shared their bounty. And I have sought to know my martial arts history, genealogy, and cultural traditions so as to transmit them authentically and hold my students responsible to know their content as well. I've been blessed to have three incredible instructors and traditions to draw from, two of which are still alive today and are thriving. And each year, on New Year's morning at 9 a.m., my students and I gather to begin the year performing 3,000 lunge punches in honor of Sensei White's favorite technique. And we did that with his group down in Southern California each year. And then in the late summer, my martial arts family gather in Ashland here in Oregon and from five Western states and celebrate the arts we love by practicing and sharing them as memorial to my late teacher, Thomas White. The senior instructors lead and foster the apprentice teachers. We all hone our skills while refining each other's instructing capacity to better prepare for future generations. It's been said that as long as the stories of our family and loved ones continue to be told, they never truly die, but live in our hearts and our minds forever.
Yes, sir.
I encourage everyone to celebrate our sacred place in the arts we have inherited with passion, honor, and integrity as we play our role in the ancestor-descendant drama and plant our seeds deeply and nurture them to fruition.
Well, you know what, Tom? It's all about the lineage and the elders and the... It really is about the pioneers and the icons and the people that set the standard, you know, the idea about focusing what we were planting. Because really, back in the 60s, we had no idea that it'd be a multi-billion-dollar business, being the Olympics, being all the movies, and it's touched so many people. And that reminds me, we are revamping the web page, and you are putting pictures of all the history generals and we've added stories and everything. Now, if people want to go to that web page, they go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. That's correct. So anything you want to add to that, Tom?
Well, we're in the process of revamping much of the website, and one of the main things that we're doing right now is collecting pictures of all the history generals. Some of the pictures we have are relatively old, and I would think that it'd be nice if we ran into each other at one of the functions, we'd actually be able to recognize each other because we may have changed in the last few years. So a new picture would be wonderful from all the history generals. They can contact me directly, or they can contact us through the museum easily as well. And we've been sending out information to the history generals and reaching out to them, and we'll continue to do that. And you posted information to be able to contact me with my phone number and my email address on the ticker tape that we have for the museum. So I encourage anybody that hasn't been talked to or hasn't been reached out to please do it yourselves and give us a jingle. And I'd love to be able to hear from you, and I'd love to be able to get those pictures and information so that we can put them on the new website structure.
Well, thank you, Tom, so much. And thank you so much for your knowledge and your wisdom and your answers to the topics every week on the 6th. And ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, the inventor of SetVR.app, he's working in the hospital tonight, so you know he apologizes, and he'll be here next week. But if you want to find out his adventure, just go to Google. That's right. Go to Google on your computer and type in S as in Sam, E as in Ethel, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, R as in Red, dot A as in Apple, P as in Paul, P as in Paul. That stands for Self-Defense Enhanced Training in Virtual Reality. And it's really incredible. It's on a flat screen. But in the actual Oculus Quest 2, which is the platform, you're immersed into the program. Now, there's Metris. There's a yoga instructor. We've got the incredible village that was taken out from a movie that's there. The hologram, of course, that attacks you, and my favorite part, the Wisdom Warrior and the History Generals of the Sport Crowd Museum. Once you go through the program, you'll be able to go and to listen and learn about all the History Generals. Now, we'll start with a core group, people like Mike Stone, J. Pat Burleson, Alan Steen, a few others, and then every month, we'll add a new history general to it. So remember, go to Google on your computer and just type in setvr.app. and you can see what Dr. Lee talks about every week, and he'll be back next week. Now, my last segment that I do on the radio show is definitely one of my favorites. It features the alias of my dear friend, my student, Mr. Dean Pyle, which he's been known as the Wolverine. Now, each week for 3 minutes, we let him, well, we kind of take the leash off of him and let him just kind of speak what he means, because he means what he says, and he says what he means, and he can back it up. Wolverine, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, right here.
Okay, I got a good question for you this week, buddy. How does the Wolverine feel about having 10 grand champions in one tournament? And has winning turned into just making money and not introducing the sport karate attitude to the world as it was when it was introduced 70 years ago? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it's funny because I just had a colonel message me today, and he talked about taking a group of his people to a competition, and he said, you know, things has changed so much. He said, I was extremely disappointed. And I was like, yes, sir. And he was asking me what my opinion was. So I think it was kind of crazy that you asked me this same thing, you know, that you had this question that you wanted me to answer. And, well, one of the main things is it's because when you're running a competition, to keep people happy because they want people to come back. You know, used to when we first started competing, you had first through third. And my students laugh when they see my old trophies because, you know, they're like maybe 6 inches tall, and that's first place. And then, you know, trophies started getting bigger, and they laugh because now, you know, they get a second place, and it's like 4 feet tall. And, you know, but now they give places out first through eighth place, and then everybody else gets a medal. What they don't realize is a lot of the kids don't understand. They're just happy with getting something. But when you do that, you take away what they actually do, and they think, well, maybe I don't have to work as hard as, you know, I thought I previously did because I got a medal anyway. So it takes it a little less important. And then when you have all these grand champions, and listen, don't get me wrong, because I play the game and, you know, I get in that grand championship division and get in my division. But, you know, when you have so many, you know, it's just there's 20. So you don't really know who is the best of the best that day. But then again, the way they run it, if you don't do that, you have some people that will be going, well, the older guy should get it because, you know, he actually knows what the techniques are that he's doing. Some will say, well, the younger guy should get it because he may have been a fraction of a second faster, you know, or something. So I see why they do it, but does it diminish? Yes, it does to some point because, you know, you everybody kind of has a chance, which not everybody has. I mean, everybody has a chance to be a grand champion, but you're only crowning so many. But, you know, when you know that there's only going to be one that day, then you work extra hard to make sure you're that one. And,
right,
you know, that kind of plays back to in real life. You know, on the street or in combat, there is no first, second, and third. And there's no participation trophy. You either win or you lose. And, you know, what competition is supposed to be about is kind of simulating that to prepare people, because competition is really just another method of training and to make sure that our technique's working.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is today, and it's the way they play the game, and so that's the game we play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should go back to – maybe a first, second, third, and you know, that be it, you know.
Right. Well, your opinion,
hey, Gary,
is very important to me, Wolverine. Yeah, AJ.
You know, I completely agree with Dean. It's, you know, America was built on competition. There are winners and there are losers, and there shouldn't be a participation trophy. I mean, that's ludicrous. It's like,
yeah,
people need to learn that there are losers and there are winners.
in the future, we'll make a show we can discuss it, maybe with the six or something. But that's a good point, Wolverine. Appreciate it so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring back my special guest that we've been talking to, Mr. John Terry. John, are you there?
I am here, sir.
Okay, we're running a little short, but I want to hit you with a couple names. And one of my favorite people, one of America's favorite champions, I know he's a member of your group. Talk about Bill Wallace. You got a minute. Go ahead.
Man, I could say a lot of things about Bill Wallace. He is not only an incredible martial artist and a true living legend, Bill is a friend. I remember Bill and I traveling to represent our association in St. Lucia. We had a real interesting experience where we were asked to go out to eat a dinner after the tournament that we were participating in was over. They drove us out in the middle of the woods to this incredible treehouse that was in the middle of the jungle. And Bill and I were thinking we had literally walked into a Tarzan movie as we crawled up this spiral staircase around this massive tree and sat in this beautiful setting in the middle of a jungle right below a dormant volcano, and we're eating a five-course dinner on fine china in a Tarzan treehouse. And
wow.
I will never forget that, as will Bill. And every time we get together, we reminisce that trip to St. Lucia and having lunch in a treehouse, when at the time we thought they were taking us to the volcano and he and I were going to be lunch.
That's a good story. Now, what about my producer, Hockey Jesse Bowen? What do you think about him?
You know, I've had a chance to get an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Hanshi Bowen. I'm looking forward to spending more. When we were at your event, not the last one that I missed because I was dealing with COVID, but the one prior to that, got a chance to spend some time, and I appreciate what he is doing to help martial artists take their voice and amplify their voice either through speaking or through having an opportunity to write a book or leveraging the two so that they can take their unique skill set, their giftedness, and make a bigger impact in their community and even reach beyond their community to literally touch the world. So I'm very impressed with what he's doing, and he and I spoke earlier this week about trying to figure out some ways that we can work more closely together to support one another, encourage one another, and just be there to add value to each other. I think he's an incredible guy that just is brilliant in what he does, and looking forward to learning even more about what all he's got going on and seeing where we as an organization can help support and serve him.
Well, remember when you put your awards together that you give out a best putting two men together award, and I want to be nominated for that, because putting you and Jesse Bowen together has been a magical dream for me, because I know both you guys are dreamers, doers, and make it happen. And I'm just kidding, because you know my job is not just a historian, but to be able to put good people together. And I'm very honored, John Terry, that you've spent time with me tonight and to share with my listeners all around the world what you're doing. So we'll see you in October, and God bless you, John Terry, and I hope you have a successful journey in what you're doing. So I'll see you in October, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And for those interested in learning more about the Hall of Fame, they can find us at UnitedStatesMartialArtsHallOfFame.com.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we really had a good time tonight. We had a lot of information, but don't forget, we're going to have a big one October 7th and 8th in Houston, Texas, for Judge Roy Curbin, one of the top 10 fighters that America created. And we've got confirmations of some really, really important people. Valley Bum, Joe Corley, Eric Lee, Alan Steen, Ron Marchini. I mean, God, there's so many people who are going to be there. We'll have a big one for you guys. So remember, if you want to know more about that, you can just call me at 713-483-0476 and talk to Tammy, get your tickets. And we'll see you in October. And for the 6th, for Dr. Lee, who's working at the hospital tonight, Hanshi Jesse Bowen, and our incredible special guest tonight, Mr. John Terry. As we always say every week, that we mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Mahalo.
Mahalo, sir.
Mahalo.